Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
8 after 7 is your time, and we're crossing over to the Global Business Round Table. It's actually their time now between 7 and half past 7. And tonight we are honored once again to have Pastor Neo Lekgodi all the way from Limpopo Province. Pastor Lekgodi, good evening and welcome back to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening, Godfrey, and the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
We make sure that the promises we make are the promises that we keep. And thank you very much for making us do exactly that. Because had you not honored it on your part, then we'd have come out to our listeners as liars. They would say, oh, they promised. Now they can't keep their promises. Thank you very much for making that possible, sir, to honor what we promised our listeners last week. So we talked about, we continue with the topic that we started, who wears the pants?
Yeah.
I know that is one topic that is so sensitive. Now that it's Women's Month, hey, women don't want to hear the word who wears the pants or submission. Some, but actually, not all of them. When they hear the word submission, something in them, some move. But these are biblical things. If at all you have problems with that, you really need to go and talk to the one that initiated and started all that and say, hey, I have a problem with submission. And who has a pen? So help me to understand and help me to do it properly. And of course, we know that this came as a result of men abusing their roles and abusing their purposes. So women felt like they are being oppressed, and that's why they don't like those words. So anyway, you're helping to clarify that without watering down the gospel and clarifying that, not changing the word so that we can hear what we want to hear, but saying this very same word that is written in the Bible as far as the roles of men and women are concerned, without compromising that. That's what we are on about tonight.
Exactly, my man.
Who has the pants?
Mm-hmm.
Is he the one that provides, the one that brings the money or more money in the household, or the one who has a pet, Muruti? If you can take us back to what we talked about last week. Give us the highlights of some of the things that we talked about last week. Can we continue?
Thank you so much, Godfrey. The key thing, particularly from starting from just to highlight what we said last week, it's an issue of confusion of roles in the family. The reason why we are having a lot of husbands who are frustrated today in marriages is because of the issue of roles. If you can recall that previously, the role of a man in a family was quite clear, and the role of a woman was quite clear also. Why in a generation or in a context whereby women were not career-oriented per se. You understand? As much as women will do the family farming, you know, just farming for subsistence and then other things, but did not have a day job like men of that particular time. So today things have changed. And when things changes, and then men are now frustrated. I used to be the only one who's bringing more money or who's bringing money in the family. I used to be the one who's protecting, I used to be the one who's protecting this family. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, if you are talking about protection, today protection is all about money. Protection is no longer about physicality, you understand? Previously, the men had to be strong. If somebody comes into the house, the stronger one must wake up and face whoever's coming through the house. But today, protection is about money. A woman who's saving a lot of money can just get the best security in town and even a bodyguard, you understand? So, meaning the woman, does that mean a woman is now the protector? Because she can pay the security company, she can get all the best security, house security, you understand? Does it mean that she has assumed the role of a protector? So it's a confusion of roles. And then we also said, the issue why men are frustrated is because they are now competing to be seen as the head. They're competing to be seen as the head. So it's a form of intimidation now. That previously I was taught by my parents, my father, my uncles, my grandparents, that, you know, I'm the man, I'm the head. But this woman can take care of the family bills. She can buy groceries. She can pay the kids' school fees. She can pay the house, the home loans. She can do all the things. So now I'm confused. What is my role? Am I still the head? So that's where the frustration comes in.
Mm. So roles have since changed.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but it looks like some roles might have changed, but the way we are brought up in that Telugu, you'll understand, Hore, it has always been a man that should be able to provide. That is why even today women struggle to stay with men that are being provided for instead of the other way around. And to the extent that even women who are any more than men, some of them are battling to give their men the respect that they need. Isn't it something that we need to be focusing on to make sure that people unlearn the old way of doing things and learn the new way of doing things? Just to say, you know what, gone are the days when you were the recipients of the provision. Things have changed, roles have changed. Now the rules are favoring women more than men. And for your family to be able to survive, you need to relook at the life as a whole, as a woman, and begin to see to it that you give the man the respect that he needs, even though you might be any more than he earns.
Exactly, my man. I think what must be clarified in our generation is that marriage is a godly institution. Marriage is a godly institution. So we need to apply the principles that comes from the Lord as far as marriage is concerned, or as far as family is concerned. In the church, Christ is the head of the church. But when we come to a family setup, the husband is the head of the family. There, we are not talking economics, we are not talking who has what, but we are talking about the order of God. And for a church to have blessing is when the church is following Christ, the church is emulating Christ, then that church can be blessed. The same thing happens in the family. For a family to be blessed, for a family to reach levels, I mean higher heights as a family flourish, they have to follow the principles of God also, whereby the man is the head. Then the question is, how is he going to become a head if he's any less? If, you know, we need to be realistic. Today, if you're talking about physicality, that do no longer apply. We have some men today whom God has created them, you know, with a lean body, you understand? You find that the woman is even more muscular than the man, you understand? That is how particular men are created, and it's the will of the Lord. So we cannot talk about protection in a carnal way. So we need to understand what is it that makes him the head. So the key thing is vision, the one who provides the vision. And in other words, the one who sets the tone in the family, the one who gives direction in the family. So you can still be a visionary in the family. You can still direct how things are done in the family, even though you are not the one bringing more money. I remember we gave an example that we were talking about a team. A family is a team. So if a family is a team and I am the team leader, a team leader does not necessarily need to have more money. A team leader does not necessarily need to have more skills or more knowledge. But a team leader must only have the skill to do what? To utilize different skills, different ideas, different strengths, and also ensure that he knows the different weaknesses of the team, of the whole team, and know how to combine all these things for the betterment or for the good of the entire family. So if you are a man, you are a team leader. This is what 21st century demands from a man. You need to treat you and your wife as what? As a team, not as a head and as a subordinate. You understand? That is the wrong way to look at it. But you need to treat it as a team. In other words, we can all bring different things to the table. But at the end of the day, the team leader is the one who's going to provide who's going to direct how we.
I think even the aspect of height needs to be addressed tonight, because I don't know when will we ever get the chance to do that. Perhaps your wife is a little bit taller than you, or maybe you are challenged height wise. And I think it's important how you look and you talk to your husband, because those short ones there. It's just like they've got short-tempered and they always blame people for their height. Hey, are you doing this because I'm short and like, I think maybe just in passing, by the way, kind of a comment that, hey, when you talk to your husband and he's a little bit shorter than you, make sure that you talk to him sitting down. Yeah. So when you talk, you say, come, let's sit down and talk, you know. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble. You'll be in trouble. Ah, you're doing this to me because I'm short. Yeah. And the same applies to wives also. Hey, yes, let's sit down, love, and talk about this thing. Because it's very intimidating to talk to somebody down there and you are up there. You know what I'm saying? Sit down and talk things over.
I think this is an issue of marital counseling, the premarital counseling.
Yeah.
You know, before, particularly those who are undergoing premarital counseling from the church side, you know, from the pastor, it is important that we highlight all these things. Whenever two people, this is what I do in our church, whenever a couple comes to me and say that they want to get married, I make sure that I highlight the weaknesses of both parties, you understand, each other, that this is the situation. This is the person that you are saying you are in love with. You understand? Mm. Are you going to handle this? This might arise based on this, based on you thinking about the issue of height. You understand?
Yeah.
Even the issue of finances. Another issue that we neglect is emotions.
Mm.
We are having men who are more emotional than women.
Mm.
That God has created them. They're just emotional. They cry more than their wives. You understand? So we need to highlight these things in premarital counseling so that when somebody says, I do, they know exactly what they're signing up for. So later on, a man cannot be intimidated because the wife is taller. If he knew what he was signing up for, you understand?
Yeah.
He must have accepted it before getting married.
Mm, I hear you, Dad. I hear you. If you don't sit down, stand on top of a chair. Yeah. Just to make sure you get your points ahead. All right. Let's look at, can we say now, or is it marriage relevant? Because I've seen people who are saying, more especially after they heard some bad news, kagadi marriage, is it the abuse and all that? Someone say, wabona, nyalo hasale relevant now. What's the point of marrying? I mean, when you go read more social media, I think you'll get such comments.
Okay. On the issue of the relevance of marriage, first thing, let me highlight of broken marriages, or you know, where we do not have solid marriages. Families makes up a community. A community is made up of families, a community, and then a community. Eventually, if we have a stronger family, we are going to have a strong community. And if we have a strong community, and if you have strong communities, particularly in a particular province, we are going to have a stronger province. Literally, if all the provinces are strong, we have a stronger country or nation, you understand? So it all starts with the family. If the family is weak, if we have broken families, listen, look at all the statistics, look at the crime-related statistics. Almost 6 or 7 out of 10 criminals that have been convicted, almost 6 to 7 of them are coming out of broken families. You understand? So children who are growing up I'm not saying literally if you grow up in a broken family, you are going to turn out bad. You understand? But the statistics currently, most of the kids, I mean, when we're talking about those who are in our townships who are abusing, substance abuses and all these things, they're coming from broken families. So if we do not have strong families, we are going to have weak communities. The crime rate increases, teenage pregnancies, all the things. We are having high rate of school dropouts. I mean, the other day, the Department of Basic Education was lamenting the issue of the high rate of school dropouts from poor families and subsequently from broken families, you understand? So those are the side effects of it. But is marriage relevant? Marriage is relevant. And why is marriage relevant? Because God created us. God created us to coexist, you understand? God did not create us in isolation, you understand? God created human beings to coexist. Hence, the Bible says in Genesis 1, from 26-27, that he created him, man. He created Adam. He created him, male and female. You know, that's how God created us. God has created us in order to coexist. Why? Because alone, as Godfrey, you can be a perfect gentleman, but there are things that you are lacking. And, you know, you can only be complimented, you know, by and your own equal. You understand? Each and every one of us have our own equal. But I'm not saying marriage is predestination. In other words, God has predestined before the creation that you are going to marry so and so. I do not believe in that. Hello?
Yes, I'm with you.
Yes, I'm not believing. But what I'm saying is that God has created us to coexist. What you are lacking, the next person can bring on board. Hence, when coming to marriage, you are not marrying an inferior person. So I also want to disqualify the issue of women being a weaker vessel, because it has been misinterpreted to mean that women are weak. No, who wants to marry a weak person? I mean, Mr. Goff, you don't want to marry a weak person. Personally, I did not want to marry a weak person, but I want someone who can be what? Who can compliment me, you understand?
Yeah.
I don't want to marry a bully, but at the same time, I don't want to marry an inferior person at the same time. So the reason why, the only way we are going to have strong families, the only reason why we are going to look at all the root from all the crimes, corruption and all these things, you are likely going to get somebody. Most of the corrupt people, you'll find that, even politicians, you are likely going to find that I'm stealing this money so that I can satisfy an extramarital affair. I'm stealing this so that I can do 1, 2, 3. So the reason why we need to have solid marriage, the reason why the church, particularly the church, I mean, I know the alarming rate of divorces in the church, but equally, remember, media will highlight the negative side of things when coming to marriage. We hardly see the statistics of solid marriages being released, you know, in public. You know, so we also need to preach the whole issue of that we need solid marriages. We need to voice out that we are a proud husband and we are not even having side chicks. You know, but that's something that we need to preach today, even our churches, even pastors.
Now, yes. Let's look at the importance of empowering each other. Let's say, for instance, you found your wife not being complete with regard to what you expect from her. Maybe she's education-wise is lower than you are, and she's unemployed, and perhaps she also has some self-esteem issues. Or you find the same with your husband. You're highly educated. And how important is it? Because I remember the verse that says that men must be the ones that empower their wives. And how important is that, to see to it that you don't find your husband, your wife complete? You know, the fact that Ubana analysts in life, it means you've got a lot of work to do there. And I believe the same can apply to women with regard to their relationships with their husbands that need empowerment. How important is that, empowering each other?
No, it is very important. Remember, always when you enter into marriage, always keep in mind that this is a team. You understand? Everything that we do in marriage is for the betterment of the team. We want the team to succeed. So when you invest in your spouse, whether a wife or a husband, because I don't want us to always assume that you are only going to marry a woman who is maybe not educated or who is less empowered, you understand? Because it can be the other way around, you understand? You can be a highly successful woman being married by a man who maybe does not have even a higher education, you understand? So both sides, it has to apply both sides. But it's important to invest in each other, particularly in marriage. Why? Because when the next person succeeds, we are succeeding as a team, you understand? I think that is where the main challenge is. People are intimidated by their partners. People are intimidated by their spouses. Some are even, I've seen it in marital counseling, some are even competing with their spouses. You understand? If my wife is getting a degree, I must make sure that I get a postgraduate. If she gets a postgraduate, I must make sure that I go to master's level or PhD. That's not how it works. But we need to ensure that as long as the next person, the issue about marriage is that you need to be selfless in marriage. You need to be selfless. You need to actually at some point sacrifice so that the next person can get ahead. Why are you doing that? You are doing that so that if the next person gets ahead, we as a team, we are getting ahead. So it's important to empower each other in marriage.
Not to compete also, but to complement each other. Okay. All right. It's 26 minutes after 7 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, Nali Murdine Olakhodi, more Radio Pulpit, looking at the roles of husbands and wives who wears the pants. And last week, we focused more on the traditional beliefs. As a man, I'm not supposed to cook, and I'm not supposed to clean the house. You know, interestingly, I'm sure you are as impressed. You'd be as impressed as I am right now. And Lohodi, I had a friend of mine that I talked with right now, a whole Mosotho. He was telling me that he cooks. He was telling me that he cleans the house. And he prepares breakfast for his wife. I'm like, wow. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. And I think we learn on one side that attitude Basuti people cannot do that. The same applies to bo warragamula. Hey, bo warragamula. No, caravan, I that problem. Yeah, hori, cooking is not, you know, yeah, it's not for them. Yeah, bomma. But it would be so hori, harisabi, yamo.
Exactly, but like you know, as I indicated, that the challenge is that particularly born again believers, particularly Christians, we at times we allow people who are not even born again. I'm not saying we must be disrespectful to elders, but listen, if you do not trust the opinions of people who are not born again in your family or in your relatives on other aspects of your life, why do you allow them platform in your marriage? This is one thing that I've seen. This is the loophole that I've seen in many couples. We are allowing people to bring culture and tradition into our godly marriages. And as a result, we are getting frustrated. It is important. I mean, the 21st century man must know how to cook. But personally, I don't know how to cook, but I'm the master of breakfast at home. I'm the one who does breakfast. Other things I can't do. You know, I try several times, but, you know, God has not gifted me in that. But we have YouTube. We can have tutorials and all that.
But I'm
not satisfied because I've tasted the best. My wife can cook better than me. But what I'm saying is that as a husband today, you need to ensure that you do all the things. The another thing that we neglect is raising of kids, our kids. Make sure that you get involved. You must change diapers. You must be there. You must bathe your kids, you know, from an early age. That's how we bond with them. We don't want to raise a kid. You know, when we grow up, Mr. Godfrey, when we grow up, we are so afraid of our fathers. You know, our father's wife, our parental fathers, because they were like, you know, you can't relate with them. Why? Because they've never been actively involved in little things like changing our diapers and all that. But if you do that, if you are doing that with your children now, you start to bond with them. I mean, now if you come, I have two boys at home. They are more close to me than their mother, you know, my two boys. They always want to be with me because I've done all the things. I can bath all these two boys and I can do everything for these two boys, you understand? So we need that. It's important. So the reason why we are asking who wears the pants, the big question, who wears the pants? Why I wrote the book, Who Wears the Pants? Then the main answer is that whoever is working to ensure that the family progress, whoever is working to ensure that the marriage remains solid is the one who wears the pants. So the one who wears the pants in the family, it is, you don't wear the pants by culture or biologically. You don't have automatic rights. But the one who's working harder to ensure that the family remains solid is the one who wears the pants.
Dade Moruti, lekhodir lebogile thata le ka mosongkhone.
Thank you so much, Godfrey.
Yes, that was Pastor Neo Lehodi, all the way from Limpopo Province. Yeah, it's very encouraging to hear about men that are really playing big roles in raising their children and helping their wives and their spouses out there. When I was emetseng o sentse o le busy ka di newspaper, ha bitse lo ro hapia le ka metsi tota, because you are married, unse magadi. You need to do something about that. Do something about that, Baba. Otherwise, uto sala. Walala wasa.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM. 657 AM.